Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook VIP podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. It is Spiritual Month. My father, John Butcher, is in the studio with me today.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Jordan.
And we're answering your spiritual questions. Make sure to send in any questions you have for any category. We love answering these listener questions. It is my favorite podcast that I do. It's just so enjoyable and so deep and so profound.
Awesome. And this is a very profound month, right?
Oh, yeah.
Big subject here.
Big subject for you. I don't know if you want to talk about that before or after the questions. That's up to you.
Whatever you want to do, Jordan. Well,
let's talk about it now.
All right.
We're in the middle of shooting Lifebook version 2.
Yeah.
Just did the spiritual script.
Exactly.
Fantastic script.
Thank you.
But you've come such a long way in your spiritual life, and you're about to go so much deeper than ever with the launch of V2
right.
and the merger with Mind Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about your personal spiritual transformation since you created Lifebook version 1.
Mm-hmm.
I know that very recently it was a big explosion for you. And then also how you think the V2 release is going to affect you, fulfill you spiritually, whatever that is.
Those are great questions. Well, first of all, I'm really honored and humbled to even be here, you know, answering anyone's spiritual questions. I feel like an infant on this journey, right? I mean, this is a subject that you could spend the entire rest of your life studying and not even scratch the surface.
Exactly.
So I don't claim to be any kind of an expert at all. I certainly have had some profound experiences and a lot of big realizations, especially over the last few years, that I'm happy to share. But make no mistake about it, I don't consider myself an expert in this area. And I mean, I'm not sure that expertise really exists. You know,
yeah, that's a good point.
Short of going on a mountain in Nepal and meditating for 45 straight years.
Right. No, that's a good point, though. It's experiential.
Yeah,
no amount of study will really get you
there. That's 100% right. It's about your own personal experience and your own path and your own breakthroughs. But I'll tell you, Jordan, in answer to your first question, Missy and I have really experienced a pretty profound transformation in this category over the last 3 or 4 years. For the first 25 plus years of our relationship, we really focused on the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Our job, our mission, conscious, was to master living on this earth to the extent that we could. That's why we invented Lifebook for ourselves, so that we could wrap our heads around the most important areas of life that we had to study, and so that we could find the best practices in each of those areas and learn and grow in each of those areas and end up trying to master them. And as a result, master living on this earth as a couple.
Right.
We invested a tremendous amount of time and energy into that. And Lifebook was the tool that we used to keep it all organized, and we shared that tool with the world. And as a result, you know, it's helped a lot of other people do the same thing that we've done, which is really get a grip on your existence as a human being on this planet, right? And then 3 or 4 years ago, we had a pretty profound spiritual transformation. We really started paying more attention to our spiritual lives, and as a result, things shifted a little bit for us. And as we started exploring more and more in the spiritual world, we'll get a little bit into what that means a little bit later in the podcast. Some of the listeners have submitted some incredible questions. I'm really excited about these questions.
Seriously,
week.
Yeah.
Our attention shifted a little bit from the physical world to the more of the unseen world, which can include a lot of different things, some of which we'll talk about coming up here. And one of the things that we realized that was so profound and so that we were so happy to understand is that, and this is, of course, all our experience. I'm not saying any of this is universal truth or putting this on anybody. This is our experience.
Right.
There's one set of laws that run the universe, not two. There's not a physical set and a spiritual set. It's all a continuum of one set of universal laws. So all the work that we did for a quarter century, really attempting to figure out how to live on this planet in the best possible way, understand the physical laws that govern our existence here, and really try to, you know, dial in the very best practices of living on Earth, all of that is still 100% valid in the spiritual world. But what's happened to us is that our sense of life, our sense of our own existence, our sense of the universe just expanded greatly mm-hmm. from the physical plane to this other place that includes both the seen world and the unseen world. And we were happy to, you know, we were really happy to discover that all the work that we've done in the past is not invalid.
Right.
It's a lot more powerful from over here mm-hmm. as we're now starting to experiment with source energy in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different paths in mm-hmm. to it. We'll talk about some of them today: meditation, prayer, tantric sex. There's a lot of different ways to hook into that source energy. Mm-hmm. And as we've been experimenting with that, it's just enhanced our physical world in a massive way. Mm-hmm. We have not had to say goodbye to the things that we've learned or to any aspect of the physical world that we enjoy so much. It's just enhanced it all. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And then as far as the second part of your question, how will version two expand our spiritual life from here? Well, what's interesting about Lifebook is when we first shared Lifebook with the world almost 11 years ago now, I wrote those scripts and recorded those videos when there was one Lifebook in the world. Mm-hmm. It was mine mm-hmm. / ours, mine and Missy's. And the whole program was nothing but a hypothesis. So I put it all down on tape and I'm like, I hope this works. I hope mm-hmm. this helps. I hope someone cares about this. Mm-hmm. And of course, it ended up being a very profound experience for almost everyone that's gone through the process. 11 years later, we have learned so much more about the 12 categories, so much more about best practices. There was only one Lifebook in the world 11 years ago. Now there are thousands and thousands. Mm-hmm. So this new program pulls in member wisdom from all over the world across premise, vision, purpose, strategy, across all 12 categories. It's not just my stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's profound. It's a profound difference to have the point of view of women, of mm-hmm. African Americans, mm-hmm. of Buddhists, Hindus. It's got incredible diversity. And
you could never cover it. It's impossible for one man to cover all that. Just, you know,
it's not just my stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible texture of wisdom that we have now from all over the world. And it also includes our biggest learnings of the last 11 years since we put this out into the world. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely profound. I'm just sitting here watching it unfold going, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that I've been chosen for this to come through me and that I've got such a competent, amazing, talented team around me to bring this out into the world. There's never been anything in personal development ever done like this before, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to be releasing it this summer in Tallinn at Mind Valley University. How it will affect our spiritual life going forward is that, you know, our purpose in life is to create the highest possible quality of life that we can for ourselves and the people we love mm-hmm. and help others around us do the same. Mm-hmm. So this is going to explode our purpose in life. Mm-hmm. Explode it. I expect this to go viral and take the world by storm and seriously change this planet.
How are you going to feel when that happens?
I would say probably humbled is the number one number one way I describe it. Honored, mm-hmm. grateful.
Maybe a little bit of awe.
Awe, totally. Just, you know, we're so grateful to be part of the solution instead of the problem on this planet. And we're so grateful to have Lifebook members by our side. And so I can't tell you how excited we are about this summer and about mm-hmm. releasing this program. And Lifebook VIPs, we're so excited about getting it into your hands because this is a game changer. You've got to go through this program again as soon as we get it done. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a completely different level. It'll be three times more powerful than the original version.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of the VIPs, let's move on to these wonderful listener questions this month. Patrick asks, what is the deepest meditation technique that you've found?
Okay, so I want to start by saying that I'm no expert in meditation. Miss and I dabbled in it for years and years. We totally get the value of it, but we never quite could get anything to stick. Mm-hmm. Until we took transcendental meditation lessons from the what's the name of that outfit in Iowa? It's David Lynch's foundation. I think it is the David Lynch Foundation. Mm. They give TM lessons. I think it costs $9.95 $1,000. They literally flew here and they gave us lessons. Mm. I'm not sure if that's their standard operating procedure, but they're in a lot of cities in America. I'm not sure about worldwide, but you can also go online and there's videos that you can learn transcendental meditation on. It's the easiest form of meditation to really learn. Mm. And it was the first form that really stuck in our lives. It's 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon. And we did it pretty religiously for a year and a half, until we started to discover some other techniques that suited us a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Dr. Joe Dispenza's guided meditations are absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They're a different level. He spent his whole life developing these, you know, just really extraordinary guided meditations. So if audio guided imagery meditations are your thing, I'd mm-hmm. strongly recommend Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditation.
They are not my thing, but his meditations I do listen to.
Yeah, they're so a different level. Any,
they are a different level.
They're the best out there.
I agree.
And then the other thing that I'll say is that we attended a Deepak Chopra meditation seminar years and years ago. And I was shocked at the difference between meditating with a group of people in a room versus mm-hmm. doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. It's palpable. Like, you can absolutely feel that energy.
Wow.
And we've done it before. We've meditated with Deepak's brother Sanjeev and his wife Amita are two of our best friends. And Amita is a meditation expert, and mm-hmm. we've meditated with them, and you can feel it. Mm-hmm. You can feel sitting down and doing that with a group, or whether large or small. So I'd recommend, if you're really interested in meditation, to take a look at what kind of seminars are out there and try the group thing, because it is very noticeable, the power difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So TM, Joe Dispenza, group meditations. Those are really our biggest strategies and techniques.
Fascinating. Nick writes the next question. If you could only use one spiritual practice for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Well, I'm gonna give you two. If I had to choose, it would be tantric sex. Duh.
Well, yeah, good call. That's a good point.
But what I'm going to talk about, because we'll get to tantric sex a little bit later. There is a specific question on that this week. I'm sorry, this month. But what I really want to talk about is gratitude, because gratitude is my answer there.
Right.
Or at least the answer I'm going to talk about. So there's a number of different ways that you can connect to this most powerful of all human emotions, as far as I know, because you cannot simultaneously hold gratitude in your mind and any kind of angst, mm-hmm. any kind of ungratefulness, depression, anxiety, anger, resentment, any negative emotion. You just can't do it. Mm-hmm. You cannot flood your consciousness with the things that you're thankful for, with the gifts that you've been given, with all of the things that you're immensely grateful for in your life, and not go to a place where all of that negativity just goes away completely. And that's incredibly valuable. Mm-hmm. What you bring back from that place is something so valuable to walk through life with. It's the other side of the abundance coin. Being grateful, allowing yourself to express appreciation actively for everything that you've been given, puts the universe on notice that you're thankful for what you have and you're ready to receive more. Mm-hmm. It opens you up mm-hmm. for that positive energy flow in your life. There's a few different ways that you can really make it turn the emotion into a ritual. Like, you can do a morning affirmation every morning. You can sit down and consciously do a positive affirmation, get in touch with everything that you're grateful for. You can bring gratefulness into your meditations. You can bring gratefulness into a ritual of prayer where you're literally thanking God or thanking the universe, whatever your deal is, for everything that you have. Mm-hmm. But the more time you can spend in gratefulness, the better you will be as a human being and the better your life will be. It is a magic emotion. Mm-hmm. So that's – if I only had one spiritual practice, sex aside, that I could really dial in for the rest of my life, that's what it would be, mm-hmm. in one form or another, flooding myself with gratefulness on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And there are just those parts of life, I feel like they are there for a reason, and it just is. Like, for instance, thanking God in all the different religions and all the different practices.
That's
why do humans do that?
Right.
I think that there is a deep-seated reason there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're lucky to be on this planet. None of us ask for consciousness. None of us ask for life. This is a gift. Yeah. We are given a gift. And
acknowledging that seems to fulfill some sort of need or satisfy some sort of hunger.
No question about that. And I'll tell you who really does an amazing job at this is Missy. She consciously has a moment of gratitude 3 times a day. Just like eating.
I see her do it randomly.
Yeah. She does it randomly, but she also does it in
intentionally as well. Intentionally. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So, I mean, she just understands the power of it. Yeah. And I'll tell you something very interesting. Even if I didn't do it, even if the kids didn't do it, the fact that she does it covers the whole family.
Totally.
Covers the whole friggin' family. Mm-hmm. No question about that.
Mm-hmm.
So just couldn't recommend that more than we do, mm-hmm. is just spending time every day thinking about how thankful you are, mm-hmm. you know?
Next question from Yamit. I'm not sure what I believe spirituality is for me, and honestly, I don't even know where to begin. Do you have any recommendations for how someone might grow in this area when they feel lost?
Well, that's a really, really good question. This is a hard category. I had years and years and years of struggle with this category.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you want to end up with a deeper spiritual connection, if you want to kind of figure out this area of your life, one useful question to ask is, what do I believe spirituality is? What mm-hmm. does the term mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Because it means something different to everybody who uses it, pretty much. That's one of the things I say in the Lifebook program.
Mm-hmm.
You ask 100 different people, what is spirituality? You will get 100 different answers.
Yeah.
You might get 200 different answers,
mm-hmm.
you know? So here's how the dictionary defines it. And to me, this is not a very useful definition. But here's how Webster's defines it. Spirituality is the non-material part of a person, which is the seat of character and emotions.
Mm.
The non-material part of a person, I get that,
yep.
which is the seat of character. That's where your character comes from, and that's where your sort of emotional base is. That's a little tough, right? I mean, that still doesn't really describe what it is, and it's certainly not a definition that you're going to find very popular out there.
That's true.
Here's the way I see spirituality. As human beings, we have basically two aspects to our existence. We have the seen world, and we have the unseen world,
mm-hmm.
the physical world and the spiritual world. And the unseen world can include a lot of different things. Here's the best way to think about it. You, as a human on this planet, you have got a body that is the physical manifestation of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's what runs around on the planet, and you got to feed your body to keep it alive. If you lose your body, you become something different. You may go out of existence. Nobody really knows what happens after death.
Mm-hmm.
You may stay together. Your consciousness may stay together. It may not. Whatever. Everyone's got a different idea of what they believe happens after death. But one thing's for sure. One thing we all agree on is that after death, you're different than you were before death. You're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have your body, you know, not sure exactly what you end up with, but it ain't this.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a massive transformation.
Atheists going to heaven, reincarnation, you're different regardless.
Yeah, whatever. You're not going to be this. You're only this for a short time.
Yep.
On this planet, on this plane, right? So you got this body running around, but what's your body made out of? Well, your body is made out of organs. And your organs in your body all have intelligence inside of them. You do not have to monitor the beating of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to monitor your breathing. You do not have to monitor your red blood cell count. None of that is under your conscious control. Your consciousness is a very tiny part of your being, your actual consciousness. The rest of your being, your organs are all programmed somehow.
Yeah.
Whatever you believe, mm-hmm. they've all got their own intelligence. Your liver knows its job, and it does its job every day, right? So your body's made up of organs, and your organs are made up of cells. And in the same way that your organs have intelligence, each cell in your body has intelligence, has a job to do, does its job, and all these billions of cells working together are what makes your organs go, which make your body go. Your cells are made up of tissues, which are made up of chemicals. Your chemicals are made up of molecules. Your molecules are made up of atoms. Your atoms are made up of subatomic particles. And at the end of the day, What you are is nothing more than fluctuations in space-time. You are energy. Your body is energy. It's physical, it's matter, it's solid, mm-hmm. but it's also 99.999% empty space.
Wow.
Right? So you are made up of energy. And that's the bottom line. And here's the thing. That's a field, the field of energy. And you can access that field. Thought is energy. Thought is the same thing as your body is. It's nothing more than fluctuations in space-time. So you can access the quantum field, and this is what's so beautiful about the day and age we live in, is that science and spirituality are looking more and more the same.
Yeah, it's true.
Scientists are looking more and more like spiritualists every day, mm-hmm. and spirituality is coming toward science too. You can access the quantum field through meditation, through tantric sex, through prayer, through fasting. There's a lot of different doorways in. And a lot of them have been explored for thousands of years of human history.
Mm-hmm.
And science is just now catching up to some of these old techniques and just now really defining how they work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I look at as spirituality, is the unseen world. Mm-hmm. And it's important. It's big. It's powerful. Much, much more powerful than the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
But we live on this physical plane. So the most powerful possible position is both. Master the physical world to the extent that you can, and mm-hmm. you do that through studying the 12 categories of life and getting better and better at each one of them. And then you can go into this unseen world, the spiritual world, and you can drop your intention in that field of pure source energy, pure consciousness, and it will have an effect. It'll have an effect on the seen world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is why I said at the very beginning of this podcast that I'm no expert in this area. I'm awed. I'm an infant, you know, just now putting my toe in this water,
mm-hmm.
and I am very skeptical of anybody claiming expertise in this area because
it's just, I think this makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but I think a lot of intellectually honest people would admit that it's all just theory. It's all just theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
but I'll tell you, there are, we can see that some things work.
Oh, like, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
We can
whether
see,
it's empirical or now you're saying scientifically verified, of
exactly.
course.
We can see that meditation has a profound effect in every area of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Accessing that field of pure energy does something in the physical world.
You can see it on a brain scan. I'll make sure to repost on the Facebook VIP page the interview with the aforementioned Amita Chopra, where
mm-hmm.
she talks about the scientific benefits of meditation affecting your telomeres,
yeah,
and
exactly.
different parts of your brain.
It's nuts.
Extending your
longevity.
Why?
Because your body's energy and thought is energy, and so you can move things around with thought. So the question was, and I'm not sure what I believe about spirituality, you know, how do you grow in this area? Well, you know, what you want to do is you want to explore, what does the term mean to me?
What you're suggesting is study, and that's what you
yeah.
did. You read the Bible.
I did.
You read the Quran.
But I make a very strong distinction between religion and spirituality.
Sure. But I mean, that was a good starting.
It was a very good starting
point. So maybe
point.
Study is a really good suggestion.
There's some amazing, amazing information out there right now on YouTube. Just watch some of the videos of some of the better quantum physicists these days, and some of the teachers like Alan Watts, who's now on Mind Valley, and some of the great philosophers. I mean, there's just you could make a lifetime of study. Just start studying. Just surf. Go from thing to thing to thing that fascinates you. I mean, this day and age that we live in is absolutely unprecedented. You have all human knowledge at your fingertips at the speed of light for free. Come on. How much easier can it be?
Yeah. All right, Yamit, get on that. Good luck, my friend. Good luck. Lori asks, I'm a lover of astrology, and I'm especially fascinated with studying the astrological compatibility of couples. I'm curious as to what John and Missy's signs are, and have you done any astrology work such as star charts? Has Missy done any star charts? Oh, my good God.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Well, she has hers done.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to start this little conversation by saying this, you guys. I am a devout rationalist. I have dedicated my entire life in my entire adult life, to understanding more and more about the nature of reality and my place in it.
Mm-hmm.
Science has been my religion. I am not into New Age spiritual mumbo jumbo in any way, shape, or form, just so you know. That being said, there is no doubt in my mind, and again, this is my personal stuff, not putting this on anybody, not claiming this is universal truth. The patterns in Sirius astrology are so clear that nobody that studies it seriously, in my mind, is going to say there's nothing to that. Well, here's a perfect example. We know that the moon affects everything about life on Earth, every species, women's menstrual cycles, the tides. I mean, we know the profound effect that the moon has on all of us, right? You know how much bigger Jupiter is than the moon?
How much?
A lot. And so there's no possibility that we're not immensely affected by Jupiter and by Saturn and all the other planets and the stars. We just haven't figured it out near as much as we have with the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But 5,000 years ago, you know, human brains haven't evolved at all physiologically or capacity-wise in the last 5,000 years. So it's perfectly likely that there were people as smart as Einstein and Stephen Hawking running around 5,000 years ago with zero of the distractions that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do was look up at the stars at night. That's it.
Right.
And contemplate life on Earth. Now, they didn't have the scientific method, so they couldn't do, you know, experimentation, hypothesis, that feedback loop. But what they could do is they could use their wisdom, they could make observations, and they could create great hypothesis, and that was the beginning of astrology. And Missy and I have had incredibly profound experiences with Missy has an astrologer, as a matter of fact, our best friend's mother, and she's dialed in at a level that I'm just shocked at the calls that Missy has with her. We record them all and I listen to them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. And I think that the spirituality gets a bad rap and astrology gets a bad rap because I think that, well, if you take a look at the woman you just mentioned, she has been studying this for decades.
Her whole life. She's in her 70s and her whole life.
I mean, master mentors, years of study,
right.
Practice, constant.
Yep.
I don't think that is even close to the same as the corner psychic who throws a sign in the window that says psychic.
Exactly.
And I think that for some people, the conversation ends there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Well, if you take a look at the Chinese zodiac,
mm-hmm.
and just so to answer Lori's questions, in the Chinese zodiac, Missy's a monkey and I'm a tiger,
mm-hmm.
which is supposedly there's an interesting story about the monkey and the tiger in the Chinese zodiac. The tiger got the monkey in. All the spots were taken for the 12 animals, but the monkey wasn't in. But the tiger was walking through the jungle and got a thorn stuck deep in its paw. Couldn't get it out. Monkey came and yanked monkey fixed the tiger.
With its opposable thumb, it can grab the thorn for real.
And so the tiger vouched for the monkey and got the monkey into the zodiac.
That's
so they've
incredible.
They got a nice little story together, those two. They're usually not a very compatible type, but when they work, they work. And Missy and I have, you know, we are a definite monkey-tiger relationship, and it's been amazing for us. I'm Pisces. She's Gemini. And talk about patterns, man. You take a look at the patterns in the Chinese zodiac, and you know these are ancient wisdom systems, is what they
mm-hmm.
are. And there's absolutely something to them. They're not science. They don't operate under the same principles, but they're interesting. They're fascinating. They're surprisingly accurate,
mm-hmm.
and you can glean a heck of a lot from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do. Miss is the one that goes into that world and brings back the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that keeps my head in the science world and brings back that wisdom. So between us, we got both sides covered. We love both sides.
Mm-hmm.
We honor both sides. We respect both sides. We don't see them as contradictory in any way, shape, or form. They just simply operate under different rule systems.
Mm-hmm.
They're both doorways into wisdom. And so Miss has that side handled, the sort of, you know, more ancient – organic wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and I've got the more rational side handled. And it's a beautiful relationship as mm-hmm. far as we're concerned.
And I want to touch on the ancient wisdom part, because those people worked with what they had. They didn't have the scientific method, like you said. But the fact is they had a lot of time on their hands,
yep.
at least the great thinkers did. And they were very, very smart.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the biggest problems that we have as a culture is how we discount the intelligence of ancient people.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
When in fact, ancient people were much more capable, competent, and arguably intelligent than your average person here. Take your average ancient person and switch them with someone in the 20th century. Watch how fast the ancient person learns how to use an iPhone. And watch the modern person die because he can't start a fire and skin an animal.
That's true, dude.
I mean,
good call.
So
you're 100% right about that.
I think we discount that, but yeah, I love that ancient wisdom. Next question from Fred: for someone who is searching for some big life answers, what is your purpose in life? How long have you known it, and what led to its discovery?
My purpose in life, I've said it 1,000 times, to create the highest possible quality of life that I can for myself and the people that I love. And to help others around me do the same. A couple interesting things about that. Myself is first. Why? Because you can't give away what you don't have. Your primary job on this planet is to take responsibility for your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Make your own friggin' bed. Clean your own room. Otherwise, you can't bring anything to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first job, right? That's how you show gratefulness for the gift that you've been given.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself. And if you do that, you may end up in the beautiful position of being able to help the people around you,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's true.
So that purpose in life, I discovered that purpose through my life book journey. I've discovered it through studying personal development, through applying personal development, through studying these 12 categories and trying to get better at them, through asking myself, what am I here for? What's my unique ability? What's my job on this planet? I've always been very drawn to and fascinated by beauty. I want to surround myself with beauty and luxury and make my life as good as I can possibly make it. I want to have so much abundance that it spills out onto all the people around me. I want to have something to bring to the party. And so I discovered my purpose in life probably 20 years ago as a result of my life book journey. And so that's the answer to that question, I guess.
Thanks, Frank. Final question from Francisco. He says he has a loaded question for us. What do you believe is the connection between spirituality and sexuality? Why do all religions and spiritual practices suggest celibacy for attainment of higher consciousness? And also, what's the connection between sexuality and our ability to attract a great life, like you mentioned in category 13?
Three questions.
That's three loaded. Questions. That's a triple barrel is what that's called.
Triple threat.
Triple threat.
Let's take them one at a time. Okay, so what do I believe is the connection between spirituality and sexuality? Sexuality, when approached in a certain way, is a doorway in to source energy,
mm-hmm.
exactly the same as meditation,
mm-hmm.
prayer, fasting. There's a lot of different doorways in. And what I mean by that is that sexuality is a way for you to access source.
Mm-hmm.
There's a technique called orgasm meditation, OM. What's the website? I think the website is onetaste.com.
Hmm.
And Missy and I took OM classes. We did a private lesson in San Francisco with the people who run this outfit, and we had a couple consultations with the founder. Orgasm meditation, basically what it does is it teaches you how to use female orgasm as a direct doorway into source energy.
Mm.
It's the same feeling that you get at the very height of meditation. It's just this, you're literally your entire
bliss.
It's bliss. It's buzzing. Your whole body is buzzing. It's you're literally accessing the source energy that animates you, that animates the entire universe. So that is the connection between spirituality and sexuality,
mm-hmm.
in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Second question is, why do all religions and spiritual practices suggest celibacy for the attainment of higher consciousness? Well, first of all, they don't all.
Mm-hmm.
Hindu doesn't.
Mm, interesting.
The Hindu religion celebrates sexuality. It's the only one of the big five that does.
And this is just our current our current, topography of the religious. Yeah. It's just what we're used to as the right. major religions. If you look throughout human history, maybe there would be more sexually based.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So there have been thousands and thousands of religions. Mm-hmm. Most of them are extinct. Who knows?
Exactly.
You know, I'm sure that a lot of them were very, I know for a fact that some of them were very, positive, sex right. positive, right?
Right. But, so is it just the Judeo-Christian religion?
Well, no, because Buddhism sort of does it too.
Sure.
Right?
And Islam.
And here's, I don't know the answer to that, but here's a hypothesis. There is a sort of feeling in most religions that the material world is less than the spiritual world, right? Mm-hmm. The material world is, you know, our body sensations are sort of associated with materialism.
Yeah, that's where sin lives. That's where
sin,
temptation
lust,
lives.
Right. It's the crass physical. When we're on a spiritual path, and I'm saying this in air quotes, mm-hmm. we're on a higher path, mm-hmm. which I don't believe that personally. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that truth is truth. Mm-hmm. There's no truer truth than other truth. Mm-hmm. We're part physical, we're part spiritual. I don't see a war between the two. But in a lot of human history, there has been a war between the two. So, you know, I think that by the way, I did a little bit of study on this, and the first time in human history that celibacy was sort of institutionalized was in 1139 in some council. So it's been about 900 years that the Christian church said monks, priests have to be celibate, no more sex.
Wow, that's much later than I would.
Me too.
Would have thought.
Matter of fact, I think that the Benedictines and some of the early Christians also let go of sex, but it wasn't institutionalized until 1139. And you know, one of the things that I think one of the reasons possibly is, look, we're not gonna get distracted by physical things. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get rid of sex out of our lives so that we can focus all of our attention on God and on walking a spiritual path.
It'd be nice.
You know? So I get that, and I also get that a lot of religions sort of look down on anything physical.
Yeah.
Money,
yep.
possessions, mm-hmm. you know, sensations of the flesh.
Vanity.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sad about that. I'm mm-hmm. sad that there's a rift
sure.
between the physical world and the spiritual world. I think that it's caused a lot of, you know, it's caused a lot of suffering. But if that's your thing, and if you think that renunciation of physical pleasure is going to get you closer to God, then that's your thing,
mm-hmm.
and then that's your path.
And it's hard for me to believe that idea would still be around if there weren't some truth to it. That's what I was trying to explain earlier, like some things that just are. I feel like a lot of things die away,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know.
Well, be careful about sort of the presupposition that just because a lot of people believe something makes it true.
That's definitely right? true. But I think that a lot of the times that other stuff falls off. It's just when you see common threads like that, maybe there's some sort of attainment there. I don't know. It was just a thought.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Jordan, there may be some rationality to that. There mm-hmm. usually is rationality behind mm-hmm. most big human concepts. However, everybody before, you know, 1300 believed that the earth was flat. I shouldn't say everybody, but most people did.
Right.
And that doesn't make it right. That was an incorrect belief.
True.
But here's what we do know. I know that sexuality is a doorway into spirituality, at least
Definitely.
The way that I define both of those terms.
Right.
So you got to decide which path is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. I don't know when in human history it came about that people started believing that the sins of the flesh were, or not the sins of the flesh, but the pleasures of the flesh
mm-hmm.
Were against higher spiritual consciousness and evolution.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they did, and it is what it is. And I guess that, you know, now you've got to decide what's right for you. You got a couple different choices there. The last part of the question. The connection between sexuality and our ability to attract a great life. Well, that's something we're going deep on next month in the love category.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a sneak preview here, VIPs. We're going to release category 13 to the VIP community exclusively, a private showing next month, next June.
Nice.
Going to make that category available to Lifebook members only. and you'll be able to experience it for yourself. My short answer to that question is sex energy is creative energy, literally. Mm-hmm. It's the energy. Sex is what creates life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can access that sex energy consciously. You can harness that sex energy, meaning you can ramp it up and get it so that you can harness it and wield it and point it where you want. This is what Napoleon Hill researched and talked about in Chapter 11 of Think and Grow Rich.
Like you said, not a lot of people remember that
chapter. That's exactly right. Sexual transmutation. This is what Missy and I have been studying for 2 decades.
Mm.
And he does a good job of explaining what it is and how it works, but he does not do a good job of explaining how to do it. And that's what we've been studying for the last 2 decades. And we're really getting better and better at wielding sexual power,
mm-hmm.
and using it to get in better shape, to make more money, to just have better lives in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really, really excited to share that with the community next month. We've done some breakthrough work. I mean, some seriously breakthrough work.
I've seen you guys. I've heard you guys talking about this for a long time.
I'm glad you didn't say you heard us.
Yeah. I've heard you guys for a long time. I'll make sure to
Oh my God, the kid's scarred for life.
Man, yeah, these Category 13 interviews, I'll be there. I'll make sure to not be there for the live stream, but I am excited for you guys. So
thanks, Jordan.
All right, everybody out there, you know, keep an eye out for that. Anything else here before we wrap it up? I feel like that was some great listener Woo! Questions. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a barn burner, man.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. All you VIP listeners, send in your questions, like I said. Check the VIP Facebook page. Go sign up there. Post some extra interviews, you know, interact. It's all good stuff. Thank you for all the love, everybody. I'll see you next time on the Lifebook VIP podcast.
Love you, VIPs.